Amazon 5-Star Theater presents Real Customer Reviews, performed by a real serious improv podcaster. Tonight's review, Spatula for the Stars. When I'm dead and civilization eventually collapses, this spatula will remain. It will be the only rune uncovered by some unknown species of the future upon which they base their assumptions of our existence.
Eggs!
They will posit.
These extinct people like to eat their eggs! And this was their primary tool for cooking them. Let us teleport and put this device in the Milky Way exhibit.
5 stars, Zachary. Find your perfect gift this holiday on Amazon.
This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor with Gordon Chang at Gordon G. Chang. Allies in East Asia, we're looking at Tokyo, Seoul, Manila, to begin with. And we welcome Michael Sobeluk. Michael is here to help us understand a headline, Japan and Philippines trying to finish defense pact for signing in Manila as alarm grows over China. Gordon, that alarm has been ringing for some time. It's encouraging to hear that they're rushing. Michael is a senior fellow at the American Foreign Policy Council, author most recently of Countering China's Great Game, A Strategy for American Dominance. Michael, the rushing, the sense of alarm is fresh in that headline. What is the concern? Good evening to you, Michael.
Good evening, John. Good evening, Gordon. It's a pleasure to be on. The alarm is about Xi Jinping and the belligerence of his foreign policy. And I think this is something that Americans have, ironically, to thank Xi Jinping for. He has been a unifying factor amongst China, amongst America's allies and partners. A few years ago, you wouldn't have seen Tokyo and Manila inking this kind of a military cooperation contract. You wouldn't see this kind of overt alignment. But the fear in the South China Sea is that the Chinese Coast Guard and the Navy are becoming more aggressive, targeting the Philippines in their own territorial waters. And the concern for Japan is Taiwan's security and the impact on Japan's self-defense if Taiwan were to fall. So there's a lot of common cause for America's allies and partners to work together to deter China.
Gordon, you have a question for Michael.
Michael, there seem to be some other factors at work as well. There is the increased Chinese aggressiveness, but there's also concern in the region about what happens if Donald Trump becomes president, because there is a fear that Trump, for instance, will unscramble things. And that's why you see, for instance, the United States and South Korea rushing to put together their new security arrangements. If you could talk a little bit about that. I mean, I don't know if the fear is well-founded, but nonetheless, you do hear it in capitals in East Asia.
I went to South Korea, for instance, in 2022 on a delegation with the American Foreign Policy Council. And I got to tell you, at least in Seoul, those concerns are real. They're quite palpable. On the one hand, former President Trump went after the Coarse Trade Agreement, but he also called into question the military cooperation with South Korea as well. And that certainly spooked our partners there. And I don't think it's an accident that we've seen a lot of progress with Manila on expanding the defense sites that the U.S. military has access to. It's gone from, I think, what, like 5 to 9 during the span of Biden's presidency. I think that's probably less about President Biden, although he's conducted good diplomacy along those lines. And I think it's more about the specter of Trump returning. I think a lot of partners and allies are hedging their bets and trying to lock in gains right now.
About Taiwan's preparation, is the opinion in Seoul, for example, you said you were recently there, is the opinion in Seoul that it's adequate, or is there a concern that Taiwan's not doing enough, not taking this as gravely as Seoul is?
This is one of the ironic elements about East Asian security, which is such a complex hotbed of cross-cutting issues. Seoul is understandably concerned about how Taiwan's future is going to play out, but Seoul also has Pyongyang on its northern border. And I think we've seen Tokyo being much more forward-leaning with deterring the PRC from being belligerent toward Taiwan or taking Taiwan than we've seen Seoul being. I think the concern for South Korea is the opportunity for Kim Jong-un to take opportunistic steps in a crisis if China were to attack Taiwan. So Seoul is very understandably, I think, concerned about how their own security could be impacted. So they've done less than others, but they understand that Taiwan is linked to them in one way or another. But this is why deterrence is not this simple calculation. Like, strength and American strength is the most important thing to keep a lid on the ambitions of Kim Jong-un and Xi Jinping.
I want to understand this. Seoul then is concerned that a move against Taiwan might trigger Pyongyang crossing the DMZ or provocative in some fashion. What's the scale of their concern, Michael?
I think it's a reasonable concern, and I think they are trying to prepare, as any capital should do responsibly, for the worst case scenario. I think that's one level of it. I think that they also realize that dictators and authoritarians are predisposed to take incremental steps and exploit a crisis whenever and wherever they can. I think a third layer is there was a deep unsettledness when I went there in 2022. They were really questioning the reliability of America's nuclear deterrent for South Korea. And to turn back to Gordon's question or from earlier, a big part of that was Trump, not his administration, but him specifically. So I think with the South Koreans, at least, there's a bit of a deficit of trust, which that's nothing that can't be overcome at all. I think even depending on how his foreign policy could shake out, a second Trump term could shore up those concerns, depending on how the president, were he to become president again, approached it. But it's complicated. I think that's the messy reality of East Asian security.
Gordon, you have a question.
Michael, you mentioned Seoul. Even before Trump became president, some in the South Korean right were talking about the acquisition of nuclear weapons because they did not trust, in general, American diplomacy with regard to North Korea. That's a Republican complaint. That's a Democrat complaint. Just completely failure of American policy over the course of decades. Now in the South Korean capital, the cries for nuclear weapons is louder. If you can sort of talk about how that fits into the trends you were just discussing.
In the meetings that we had in Seoul, we had very high-level members of the defense establishment in Seoul implying very openly that they wanted U.S. nuclear weapons deployed on their soil. And exactly as you say, Gordon, there's a deficit of trust. And it does go back quite a ways. And let's face it, this isn't something that policymakers in Washington like to talk about. But our North Korea policy has been a bipartisan failure. It absolutely is. And that's a problem when you look at the South China Sea problem set and the Taiwan problem set, because all three of them are in some ways linked. And we have badly missed the mark on North Korea. And I think all our allies and partners are wondering, are we also going to miss the mark in the South China Sea, where we have a treaty ally in the Philippines? And are we going to miss the mark with Taiwan? Taiwan's not a treaty ally, but Japan is. And Taiwan security is inseparable from Japan's security for geopolitical, geographic reasons. So this hesitancy and this maybe in some cases just fear in Seoul, I think is well founded. I also think that America has a history of spilling blood in the Korean Peninsula in the 1950s when it mattered most. We've demonstrated that we can be there when the moment arrives. The question, though, is can we make sure that moment never comes and that deterrence does not fail? And I think that's the big question right now.
Michael, the foreign minister of Poland has tweeted an alarm, not about China, but about the conduct of the president in the first debate. He's voicing something that I believe is also true in other European capitals, but he's put his name to it. He suggested Marcus Aurelius and Commodus as an example of how the great emperor Marcus Aurelius left the empire weak because he didn't make the right choices about his successor. It's a rough analogy. You take it. Is there something that you've seen anywhere in the media from East Asia, Tokyo, Seoul, and Manila, especially Tokyo, that's comparable to what we've heard from the foreign minister of Poland? Concern.
I have not seen any open concern. That doesn't mean the concern is absent. I think that a lot of America's closest allies and partners are, of course, they're being careful with what they say publicly because they have their own equities with this current administration that they want to maintain. But I think it's impossible for anyone, any foreign leader, to watch that presidential debate from Thursday night and not come away with a lot of questions and a lot of concerns about the current commander in chief. I think that's an unavoidable reality. And I would be shocked if our allies in East Asia were not having their own questions and their own concerns and their own private conversations. No one knows how this is going to play out. This is a question for the Democratic Party and for the Biden family. But our allies and our enemies, let's add, are also watching this very closely.
Michael Sobeluk, Senior Fellow, American Foreign Policy Council, author most recently of Countering China's Great Game, A Strategy for American Dominance, Gordon Chang at Gordon G. Chang. I'm John Batch.
Stay tuned for more of CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Truth is, Ohio, when it comes to broccoli salad, you got the secret ingredient on lock. Miracle Whip. You know it, your neighbors know it, heck, everyone from Toledo to Portsmouth knows it. That tangy zip of Miracle Whip is the reason why Ohio's broccoli salad runs circles around everybody else's and never gets winded. So here's to you for keeping it bold, keeping it zippy, and keeping Miracle Whip right where it belongs in all your favorite recipes. Buy Miracle Whip at your local grocery store and get your tang on, Ohio.
This time of year, most of us are checking off our holiday gift lists. But identity thieves have lists too, and your personal information might be on them. Protect your identity with LifeLock. LifeLock monitors millions of data points every second and alerts you to threats you could miss. If your identity is stolen, LifeLock will fix it, guaranteed, or your money back. Make this season about joy, not identity theft, with LifeLock. Save up to 40% your first year at LifeLock.com/iHeart. Terms apply.